to make disciples, to share the gospel, to be light in the midst of a dark world, to actually be the church, it's going to get messy. I want to talk about the day before I left for vacation. I want to talk to you a little bit about what was going on the day before I left for vacation. So over the past 27 years, which is how old our house is, we've been in the house 24 years or so, maybe 24 years or something, like maybe 25 years. No, 23 and a half years now. It just came. I just did the quick math. And so the home is getting a little bit older, and we've been having a little bit of water issues in our shower. So there's a little bit of leaking, a little bit of evidence of some leaking around the entrance to our shower. And we're like, okay, we got to take care of the shower. So what's the first thing we begin to do? Velvet and I begin to dream about, oh, what's our new shower going to look like? And what kind of tile and fixtures and colors and all of this? And are we going to have a rain shower, you know, with a this and a that? And what are we going to do to our new shower? And it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be so awesome. So that's exactly where our minds went when we were thinking about we need to do something about our 27-year-old leaky shower. I mean, it was so bad. It was getting this bad to where we had to put this bucket in the shower because it would drip all through the night. Just anyway, you're thinking, Eric, just repair it. Okay, we're taking care of it. But anyway, so we got to get a new shower. We're all excited about the new shower. But here's the reality of it. Something had to happen first. And that is that we had to tear the old shower out. And so I brought some brothers over to the house, and then they began. I'd like to say we began. It's really them. I did the heavy lifting, though. I will tell you what, I was the only man on the job that could actually loosen up the drain for the tub to get it up. I'm just saying, I don't know what that is, but I knew. I told you guys, you know that as soon as I get this open, you're going to say that you loosened it for me. Try one more time so that you can't use that excuse. Anyway, I'm just saying, but I digress. So here's what happened. A big mess happened in my bathroom. Oh, we put up, you know, plastic to try to keep everything clean. But there's a whole mess that had to happen first. I mean, we were in there. There were sledgehammers in there. There was dust flying everywhere. Saws. There were crowbars. Things were getting busted up. So the point is this, before we get our nice, new, clean, beautiful, awesome shower that we've dreamed of and put little pictures together of, we had to experience a mess. And frankly, that's just how so much of life is, isn't it? It's how it is with Christians. It's how it is with our lives. It's how it is with those of us who call Jesus our Lord and Savior. To make disciples, to share the gospel, to be light in the midst of a dark world, to actually be the church, it's going to get messy. The title of today's message is Ministry is Messy. And when I say ministry, I'm talking about like just being a Christian. Because we all have the ministry of the gospel of Jesus. We all have the ministry of reconciliation like Christ has called us to do, the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people back to God, right? We all have that ministry. So when I use the term ministry is messy, I'm talking about being a Christian is messy. Being the church, it's messy. It's messy. So on vacation, I still read the Bible, by the way, on vacation. I recommend that. So it was one of those rough mornings out on the dock, you know, in the beautiful, well, anyway, I won't go through that again, but I was in God's word and I was actually in Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus was doing what Jesus does here in Matthew chapter 8. He was preaching the kingdom of God. People who were sick were coming to him and they were being healed by Christ Jesus. People were following him and he was calling people to follow him. But now it was time to move on to a different location. It was time to cross the Sea of Galilee. And so here we're going to pick it up. Jesus is crossing the sea. He calms a storm. But what happened when he reached the other side to this next location for ministry? What happened? Matthew chapter 8, beginning of verse 28, says this. When he, Jesus, arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. Isn't that a nice welcome? Anyway, they were so violent. Now check this out. They were so violent. That's a powerful word, violent. So don't water this down right now. Two demon-possessed men meet Jesus and his disciples. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want from us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Notice they knew that there was an appointed time. What are we talking about? There's already the victory. We just talked about that a little bit earlier. Amen? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. So he said to them, go. Isn't that great? One word. Go. I want to just kind of divert a little bit. I just want to speak in this a little bit. When we're dealing with things, even demonic things, we don't need to get into some big show and dance and tug of war with darkness. Jesus said, go. He said, go. He also another time told him to be quiet. So he says, go. And so they, these demons, they came out of these two men and they went into the pigs. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off. They went into the town. They reported all of this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. To thank him? Maybe not. Because it says, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. All right, point number one, ministry is dangerous. Ministry is dangerous. Jesus, his disciples, they ride to the other side. And what do they run into? Danger. They're met with violence. Two demon-possessed men, so violent that no one could pass. So like Christ, being a Christian in an antichrist world is dangerous. It just is. The early church definitely experienced this. And the church around the world is experiencing this today. Maybe not so much here in the U.S. I mean, we're starting to get a little bit of a taste, but come on. We still live in Disneyland compared to so much of the world, compared to history. But here's the reality. You're going to live like Jesus. We're going to encounter danger. So here's what some of the early apostles, here's what the apostle Paul and Barnabas encountered. It said, so Paul and Barnabas, this is in Acts 14, beginning verse 3. So Paul and Barnabas spent a considerable amount of time there. They were in Iconium. Okay, so they're spending a lot of time there ministering, bringing the gospel of Jesus. And what happened? They were speaking boldly for the Lord. And God, as they're speaking boldly for the Lord was confirming their message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot. I love that saying, afoot. The plot is afoot. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders to do what? To mistreat Paul and Barnabas and to stone them. That's in other words, kill them by throwing stones at them. That's painful. But they found out about it, Paul and Barnabas did, and they fled to Lycaonian, cities of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. So, ministry is dangerous. Ministry is dangerous. If you ever read any of the history of the great missionaries that have gone before us, even just in the last 2-3 centuries, most of them experienced extreme danger when they brought the gospel of Jesus. See, being like Jesus, talking like Jesus, sharing the good news of Jesus is dangerous. But here's the reality. Many people, many church people, believe that church life is supposed to be safe life. I mean, that's kind of, whether it's preached or not, it's kind of always back there in everybody's mind. It's kind of the thing that if you become a Christian, that now that somehow we deserve some sort of safe life, safe living, comfortable life, comfortable living. Find that in the Bible. Show me where Jesus, the one who said in this life you'll have troubles. What are we talking about here? It's a gross misunderstanding. Church should be dangerous, and it is dangerous. Exposing evil is dangerous. Pushing back darkness is dangerous, and it's even violent. It just is. From the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 11, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. But again, many Christians are pursuing safety instead of pursuing souls. I'm going to step on a few sacred cows maybe this morning. Why not? Maybe I'll kick them or push them over even. I don't know. But has anybody ever been cow tipping? Speaking of sacred cows, y'all are crazy. I've never even done that, okay? Y'all are crazy. Anyway, so many Christians, and I've been there, and sometimes I'm still there, and Lord, forgive me for this, but it's so easy to get caught up in this pursuit of safety, of everything wrapped up, everything good, and everything, you know, it's all safe. It's all safe. And as parents, I mean, we think that our job is to keep our kids safe all the time. And so we fall into this trap of our job, our role in life is to create a safe environment. That's what God wants us to do. That's our mission, our purpose in life is to pursue and create safety. And I'm just like, I don't see that in God's word. I don't see that in the life and the ministry of Jesus or the apostles or their teaching. But I do see that we are called at all costs to lay down our lives and to pursue souls for Jesus, that he would receive the reward of his suffering, that we would take up our cross and follow him, that we would humble ourselves. It's better to give than to receive. I see that all over the place. And I don't know, why does God have me preaching about this? I've been asking that question. I'm like, I'm coming back from vacation. I want to come back with a woo, you know. Anyway, happy, happy, happy. And this is a happy message. This is, I believe, a message, as I was asking God about it. I just think it's a message that we need to hear as the American church. As things are swirling and all this stuff going on around us and everything, we just need to have the right perspective and realize that we shouldn't be running to safety right now. We should be running for souls for Jesus right now. What an amazing opportunity for the church here in America. Ministry is dangerous. And I want to say we should be rejecting safe Christianity. Because here's what I believe. Safe Christianity is a me-focused Christianity. It's not Jesus-focused. It's not. Let's go to point number two. So ministry is dangerous, and ministry is disruptive. It's disruptive. It was for Jesus and those around him. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 33. Those tending the pigs ran off. This is after the pigs jumped into the water, right, and died and all that stuff. They ran off. They went into town. They report all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men, meaning that they'd been set free. That's good news. That's amazing. It's miraculous. They went and reported all this. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to get out of here. What are you doing, Jesus? You're messing things up. Yeah, those violent men are free and at peace right now, but you mess things up around here. See, the ministry of Jesus is disruptive. How many of you have had your lives disrupted by Jesus? I'd say, I hope that if you're in Christ, you've raised your hand because your life has been disrupted by Jesus, all right? Praise God. How many of you know the world needs to be disrupted by Jesus? How many of you know that you are his representatives right now? And when you go out as Christ into this world, it will be disruptive. Amen. Are you going to be okay with that? Yes. You going to be okay with that? When the kingdom of heaven collides with the kingdom of this world, there's disruption. I mean, they're polar opposites. And when the kingdom of this world is just cruising along, doing its old thing, sin, 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 me, and all of a sudden the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of Jesus hits that disruption right there. Major disruption. So Jesus brought freedom to these men who were tormented with demons. Because the ministry of Jesus is a ministry of freedom. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And he came to set us free. Yet Jesus was asked to leave. How many of you have read that book about Who Moved My Cheese? I think is what it's called. It's a business book. It's about, it's basically about, change, right? And, we like our cheese right where it always is, and we like things always the way they are, and then somebody comes and moves it, right? And changes things. We're like, hey, who moved my cheese, right? I'm going to tell you what, if you're a Jesus follower, your cheese has been moved, and it will continue to be moved, all right? It just will. There's disruption, right? It just happens. And Jesus moved their cheese. And it's crazy because it was such a good thing. He set these men free. The violent men were no longer violent. People could pass that way now. But in the process, their cheese was moved. Their pigs were drowned. And they didn't like that. They didn't like it. They didn't like it. Y'all are getting hungry. I'm talking about cheese and bacon and all this kind of stuff right now. I'm getting hungry anyway, but John 3:19. This is the verdict. I love this. This is the verdict. This is what's been settled. This is what's been said in heaven. This is the verdict. Life has come into the world. Amen. Praise God. But people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. So even as Christ Jesus comes with light and love and freedom, people continued to love the darkness, asking the light to leave because their deeds were evil. And they were deciding continue in those deeds of darkness. So the ministry of Jesus is disruptive. I'm going to tell a story. So some of you are aware of this. I shared it closer to when it happened. But my grandfather, he denied Christ. Atheist, then agnostic, just never wanted to hear it. Didn't believe it, could not believe in resurrection, in people coming back to life, was the ultimate thing. He was a doctor, he was the chairman of the board of Mayo Clinic for about 12 years or so. And smart guy, wonderful man, but without Jesus, smart and wonderful and kind just doesn't hack it. It just doesn't. And so we continued to pray for him. And 6 months before he passed away, he heard the gospel again. He saw the gospel again through two women that were his caretakers from, coincidentally enough, the organization called Visiting Angels that were caring for him, showing and then sharing yeah, opening up their mouths and actually also sharing the gospel with him yet again. And in that moment, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. I talked to the nurse that was with him. And the nurses that, for 45 minutes before I did the funeral, I talked to them. Because I wanted to know what I was about to say. And say the right things about what had happened to my grandfather. And so I did this funeral full of joy. My grandfather, not in hell, but with Jesus in paradise. The one who couldn't understand resurrection will experience resurrection someday because Jesus was resurrected. I mean, miraculous, such good news. And I'm sharing this good news of Jesus and the gospel and the joy that my grandfather is experiencing right now. And you would have thought that I had said the worst, most offensive things in the entire world to my family members who were there. I got the meanest looks. Some got up and walked out. And I know sometimes I can get excited about things and come across a little like throwing some punches. But I mean, this was like nice Pastor Eric preaching the gospel of Jesus, the joy of eternal life in Christ Jesus, the goodness of God. And you would have thought, man, because ministry is disruptive. The gospel, the good news of Jesus is disruptive. It just is. Truth is disruptive. When you love your lie, when you love a lie, man, truth can't have that. Here's one for you, just as I'll just kind of go off on this a little bit. But so no longer on most social media platforms can you use the term groomer anymore. And groomer in the way of not dog groomers or anything like that, but I'm talking about in the way that many in the LGBTQ community are grooming younger people to be part of their community. It's a fact, it's a reality. Study it, read anything, even just talk to young kids who are in school environments and all that, and they'll say, yeah, it's true. It just happens, right? You cannot even use that term anymore because the lie doesn't want to hear the truth. It's disruptive. It's just disruptive. Light disrupts darkness. Go into a dark room, flip the switch. It disrupted the darkness, right? The light turned on. And so for many Christians, though, their worst fear would be asked to leave. Their worst fear is, oh no, I'm going to disrupt things. And if I disrupt things, I'm going to be asked to leave. If I disrupt things in my family, if I disrupt things, then I'm going to be shunned. Now look, if you disrupt things because you're just being an idiot, then that's on you. But I'm talking about disrupting things because you're bringing Jesus, okay? But man, that's the worst thing that can happen. The church, man, we can't be disrupting things. We got to remain quiet. And so in our goal and in our pursuit of not disrupting anything, we begin to create new doctrines that make us feel okay by just holding off and being quiet and silent and just going along to getting along. We create doctrines about how Christianity fits in with culture. It needs to be relevant to culture. I don't know what your views are on the whole creation evolution. So I told you I was going to step on cows. Actually, that was kind of silly, but I believe that's what, you know. I believe that so much of the church has bought into this whole thing of evolution, which is totally contrary. It's coming up with a story, a theory of how things were created apart from God. It's leaving God out of the equation. That's the whole purpose of evolution. That's the whole purpose of why they came up with it. Atheists, agnostics that would remove God from the equation And so here we have it. But the church, in its desire to fit in so badly, has melded creation that's spoken of very clearly here in Genesis. Oh, how could that happen? Because God is God. Okay? All right? That's how it happens. How do you, a sinner, get saved? Because God does miracles. Okay? But in our desire to not disrupt, in our desire to fit in, we create doctrines of how, you know, how the creation that's described in the Bible that God did somehow melds with and fits in with evolution, and how the church, we need to be kind of up to date with things, and we need to progress with what we're learning. I tell you what we're learning is every time as more facts come out is that this is right. That what the Word of God said about creation is 100% right. Incredible. Here's some more good news from Jesus. Red letters, Matthew 10. Brothers, just think about this. Think about the hardest funeral I ever did that I just told you about, right? Hardest one ever. Thought it would be the most joyful. I was so excited, right? Hardest one I've ever done. Ministry is disruptive. Jesus is disruptive. And Jesus said, brothers will betray brother to death. And the father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. This is Jesus talking. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I wrote here in my notes, I said the church is often ineffective in our world because we're more concerned about fitting in and being accepted instead of being like Jesus. Being light, speaking truth, and pushing back darkness. Ministry is disruptive. The gospel is disruptive. Truth is disruptive. Light will disrupt darkness every single time. And yes, people might ask you to leave or even walk out on you. And I pray it's not because you're being, I guess I'll use the word again, I already used it once, because you're being an idiot. I pray that that's not why they're walking out on you. But you can be loving and sharing exactly what they need to hear. The gospel of Jesus. And you're going to disrupt things. And that's okay. That's okay. I want to cut to the chase. The last thing, which is really my main point, and I'm running out of time here. And that's the title of the message, which is point number 3, ministry is messy. I'm going to tell you a story. I was doing water baptisms in Ghana, Africa. And it's going to get a little... This is not a good one right before lunch, but I'm going to share it anyway. So we show up with 25 people who are going to be baptized, who have just accepted Christ in the last few weeks in Ghana. Exciting time. And we show up at this pond, small lake, large pond, and we're going to do baptism. We're walking up onto the shore, and there are human feces on the shore of this pond, this place where we're going to enter into and baptize people into Christ Jesus. Okay? And I started going, oh my, how do I get out of this? How do I keep my shoes on? Which I did even when I got in the water. But anyway, how do I not get in that water? How do I not do this? And quickly I realized, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. And then I'm thinking to myself, what's in that water? Because it doesn't look really healthy. It looks very stagnant. It doesn't smell good. I mean, are there creatures in there that are going to take my foot off? Or are there little dinky little amoeba type things that are going to drill right up into my foot and boom, it's over. I don't know what's going to happen. These are the thoughts going through my mind as we're walking to baptize 25 people into Christ. So joyful, so exciting. Ministry is messy. I got in the water. Oh, man, and we're... Boom, and water's flying up, and I'm like closing my mouth and trying not to let anything get in anywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, Lord, ministry is messy. I wanted to be involved in what God was doing, and it got messy. But this is why many churches are ineffective. They don't want to get messy. They don't want the mess. They want things clean, tidy, presentable. They want it, everything to be proper, to be managed just right, to just, you know, hey, everything's going to just be predictable and everything's going to be this and that. No messiness allowed. Sanitize, you know, the gathering. Sanitize the prayer meetings. You know, it's warm and fuzzy, safe, no mess. But here's the deal. When people get fixated on preventing the mess, they miss the ministry. You know what I'm saying there? When, if we get fixated on preventing the mess, we're going to miss the ministry. Here's one example. Scripture calls us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, like prophecy and tongues. Read it in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I mean, it's very clear, so clear. But these gifts can get messy. They just can. Or at least they can appear messy to us. Are they necessary? I think sometimes they appear messy to us. They're not necessarily messy to God. I'm just saying. The early church had this messiness of going on. And so that's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians to talk about this. Not to tell them not to do this. But yeah, it's going to be messy. And here's some tips and tricks, if you will, on how to handle the mess and for everything to be most effective. But here's the problem. People so badly don't want the mess that churches, denominations will even, again, create doctrines about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are in direct opposition to what Scripture encourages. In order to keep things clean, to keep things manageable, there are doctrines and there are things like cessationism where the gifts, oh, they've ceased. Everything else we read about is continuing on. But this one thing, because it's messy, I'm going to tell you what, that's why. Because it's messy, because we can't control it, because it's supernatural, it's ceased. So we're going to create a doctrine to cover ourselves so we can keep everything sanitized in the church. Man, I wrote this. I said, is this so that, in other words, creating these doctrines and everything, is this so that they can adopt practices that, whether they admit it or not, are designed to keep the mess of the Holy Spirit out? Yes. Yes. I mean, yes. And it's the last thing Paul wanted to happen in the church. It's the last thing Paul wanted to happen. He says this as he finishes up his whole dissertation, his whole discussion, if you will, three chapters of 1 Corinthians. He didn't write it that way in chapters, but, you know, that section of writing to the church, he finishes it up. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Be eager for these things that people can say are messy. Be eager to prophesy and do not forbid that really messy, scary, crazy thing called tongues. He didn't say that. I just kind of added that, okay? It's messy. Let me talk about another area of messy. Some Christians will give money to help the poor, but then hesitate to open up their homes to them, like to the homeless, because it's messy. Jesus said, or actually, this is what it says in James 2. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand over here, sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? I'm going to go ahead and point some. I'm just going to call it out and whatever. I know this is being recorded. It's online and everything. So we have homeless ministry here at Evident Life Church. We open up our church on Fridays, not every Friday, but if we needed to, we would. I mean, come on. We want to help. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're willing to get messy. But there's a group, there's another church called LDS that they want to help, and they're willing to bring food, and they're willing to bring and help in that way, but they won't open up their own facilities. And I'm just saying, thankful for what we get, but this came to my mind because, you know, I always wonder about that. And as I'm processing this with the Lord, it's like some people just they draw a line of where they're going to get messy, of what they're going to really do. We'll come, we'll send money to Africa, we'll make some food and drop it off and all that. But I don't want my house messy. I don't want to have to deal with the smell and the cleanup and the extra utilities that it's going to cost. And God forbid, people outside smoking cigarettes or something. And oh my goodness, that's the worst. We can't have that kind of stuff. It's too messy. Ministry is messy, but it's worth it. Ministry is, Jesus got messy. He went to messy places. And it's worth it. If you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Luke 6:33, that's Jesus. So like my shower project, ministry is messy. Church is messy. Unfortunately, messiness is why so many avoid ministering to others. And when your goal is to avoid messiness, you're going to miss the ministry. You're going to miss God. You're going to miss his presence. You're going to miss the joy of seeing people saved and transformed and experiencing love. Jesus told us to leave the 99, to go after the one. Well, guess what? It's usually inconvenient, costly, and messy to go after the one. It just is. But that's what we're called to. And it's the religious people who would avoid the messiness. The Good Samaritan story, you know that. It's the religious people. Ah, it's too messy. I'm above that. Not going to get my hands dirty. It's going to be somebody else who's going to do that. Jesus called those kind of people whitewashed tombs. Oh, they look good, sanitized on the outside, but on the inside they're dead, empty spiritually. It's the people who are willing to get messy. Have a little bit of something in there, a little bit of Jesus in there. So I'm going to conclude with a few statements. I want to ask those who are going to be serving communion to come forward as I'm making these final statements. Go ahead and come forward right now. Now, I want you to know this, that we, the body of Christ, should do things with excellence. I'm not saying that we should just be sloppy and messy in doing ministry. We should be wise and do things with excellence. We should care for our facilities that the Lord has given us. We should steward our finances well because they're his finances for his purposes. But in the end, when the rubber meets the road, here's the reality of it. When we roll up our sleeves and when we get busy with the work of ministry, it's going to be messy. It just is. And we choose to be a church here at Evident Life Church that's okay with messy. We're okay with messy. And as the world gets crazier and messier, I'm going to tell you what, ministry is going to get messier and messier. And we got to be okay with that. We got to be prepared for that. If you're looking for a sanitized church, then this might not be the church for you. If you're looking for a safe church, then this probably isn't going to be the church for you. If you're looking for a church that's not going to disrupt anything, this probably isn't going to be the church for you. And I'm not saying that kind of in a, hey, we're just going to make trouble. I don't like trouble. I know I come across as a guy who, like, you think I'm looking for conflict. I hate conflict. That's one of my issues, is having to push myself to not avoid conflict. I'm just being real with you. I don't like it. But there's conflict when the kingdom of heaven meets the kingdom of this world, when light meets darkness. There just is. If you're looking for a socially accepted church that wants just to go along, get along, status quo, and be accepted by the world, then this probably isn't the church for you. It just didn't. But if you're open and desiring to go wherever Jesus takes us, if you're willing to get your hands dirty and your life disruptive, if you're willing to just live a little bit on the edge, even with a little bit of danger, then let's run this race together. Let's run it together. And so if you're clapping and you're like, yeah, I want to encourage you. Look for ways to engage here at Evident Life Church for ministry opportunities. We have all kinds of opportunities. Opportunities that minister to the youth and the children. Man, we could use your help in that area, especially with the children's ministry right now. You want to push back darkness? How about pour into the next generation in some powerful ways? Making room for more families to engage in this and to be discipled and built up in the Lord. We have government impact teams. We have Christian education teams. We're wanting to bring the kingdom of heaven to a hurting and lost and broken world, like in real ways. We have homeless ministry. And the poor, the world has a lot of needs. We want to be the church. So if you're ready to roll up your sleeves and get a little messy, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it together. And I want to transition right now in what I believe is a picture of how ministry is messy. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? How many of you know the cross was messy? We're going to remember that right now. Come and take communion.